Good evening, everyone. If you do not have one of the outlines on the names of God that we distributed Sunday night, would you...
Pardon?
Okay. I don't see my face. Huh? If you did not get one of the outlines on the names of God that were distributed Sunday night, lift your hand. Someone might get them on the table in the back. Billy, maybe you have some there in your hand. And I trust this will be of some help to you in this study. Turn, please, in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, Brother Bruce, in his prayer, prayed that we might be lovers of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul prayed in, or stated in Romans chapter 16, salute Philologus. Quite a name. Salute Philologus. And when you look at that name, you'll see Philo. We would think of Phileo. You would say, well, now, isn't that rendered in the English love? Yes, it is. And you would see Logos. Isn't that rendered word? Yes, it is. What does Philologus mean? It means lover of the word. Quite a title, isn't it? And would to God we were lovers of the word. Some might, in a critical way, say, well, we're supposed to be lovers of the one of the word. Well, I think anyone who would be a lover of the word, or at least I'm inclined to think that anyone who would be a lover of the word would be a lover of the one of the Word, because it's all about Him. But would to God we would be lovers of the Word of God. I tell you, as I have been thinking about the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within me, as He is dwelling within every believer, and as I have been thinking of my own experience in this series of study, seeking to be led by the Holy Spirit of God and yet using the tools that are available to us to dig out precious gems of truth, my own heart and soul have been blessed as I have been thinking about these scriptures. And I realize, I say it sincerely, I realize something of the solemnity, something of the wonderful privilege and yet awesome responsibility in handling the Word of God. One had better be a clean vessel in doing so. What a responsibility and yet what a privilege. And would to God we would not only read the Word of God, but study it and meditate upon it. And in doing so, as in considering these names of God, our appreciation of Him will deepen and broaden, and I pray it will be so with us. Look at Exodus chapter 3. I'm sorry, Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. I believe that most of you, if not all of you in the auditorium here, are somewhat familiar with Exodus chapter 3. I'm assuming that. You know something of the story of God dealing with him. We read of the angel of the Lord, and we believe this is a theophany, what is known as a theophany, and maybe more specific, a Christophany, that is an appearance of God, an appearance of God the Son in the Old Testament. At any rate, God commissions Moses to be a leader of his people. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Turn over, please, to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Now, on Sunday night, we were thinking about the primary names for God in the Old Testament scriptures. There are three primary names. There are many names of God in the Old Testament, but other than these three primary names, these other names are compound names. Names that are compounded with Jehovah along with some other working of God, some other title whereby he is known in a particular way for who he is and for what he does. But there are three primary names for God. In Genesis chapter 1, in the entire chapter, we read only of one of these primary names. It is Elohim, and in your outline on page 3, you have some thoughts there in front of you concerning this plural noun, Elohim. Keep in mind, it is in the plural. The Hebrew differs with the English in this regard. In Hebrew, one is singular, two is dual. To be plural, you must have three or more. And Elohim is in the plural. And that name of God appears 2,570 times in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, for those who would deny the Holy Trinity should consider that name Elohim. Because being a plural noun, it allows for the Holy Trinity. Some would say that it is a plural noun because it indicates or it reveals something of the full majesty of God. But I am convinced, as are many others, that it allows for the Holy Trinity. Now, many Jews would say that Christians believe three gods in one person. And some Jews, many Jews, would take us to the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, and they would read to us or quote to us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Or more specifically, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one." But as we noted Sunday night, that is a compound unity, even as Elohim is a plural noun. I speak to one individual, singular, but I am now speaking to one audience, and it's made up of a number of people. It's a compound unity. And Christians do not believe in three gods in one person. We believe in one God consisting of three persons. And possibly you have heard me say that I personally think one of the best illustrations that I have come across concerning the Holy Trinity is an equilateral triangle. Here you have three straight lines of equal length united together to make one entity. If they were united, they would be three entities. They would be three straight lines of equal length. But when they are united, they make one entity. And it's interesting, I have never been able to prove this. I had a dear, dear friend of mine, now with the Lord, a missionary to the Jewish people, said to me that the Star of David is made up of two triangles. One pointing upward to God and the other pointing downward to man. Now, maybe that is how the Jewish star or the Star of David came about. I do not know. I'm simply telling you what this dear person told me. But at any rate, we believe in one Godhead, and it's made up of three people who are co-equal, who are co-eternal. And so we believe in the one God. Now, we noted Sunday night that this meaning of Elohim is God is not only powerful, he has unlimited strength, energy, might, and power, but he is faithful, because Elohim comes from two roots, E-L meaning strength, might, power, and Allah meaning to swear, or to declare or make a covenant. God is not only one of infinite strength, but absolute faithfulness. God is faithful. And we praise Him that that is so. But now we are considering this second primary name or title for God, which is Jehovah. Now, for those of you who were not here on Sunday night, I'll just take a minute to repeat this. That the people of God, the men of God who translated the scriptures into what we know as the King James Version. Now, if you have a different version, possibly this will not bear out, but it is so with the King James Version. Because these translators knew, they understood that most people did not read the Hebrew language. And so, in translating, they put within the translation a code so that we could have some understanding of what particular name for God or names of God were used in a particular context. And it is somewhat surprising, and I say this to my own shame too, but it is somewhat surprising how so many Christians know absolutely nothing about that code. Now, we noted, as we have on the outline, that wherever you have God, spelled capital G, small O-D, wherever you have God spelled that way, it is Elohim. Wherever you have the words Lord and God spelled all capitals, L-O-R-D, G-O-D, you are to know that the title there is Jehovah. And where you have the word Lord spelled capital L, small O-R-D, understand that that title is Adonai. Now, that's the code. And we see these different names even in the scriptures that we have read. Now, understand, too, from chapter 6, where God said, "But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them." All right, we go back to the book of Genesis and right on up to Exodus chapter 6. And we see this name Jehovah a number of times. In fact, this name for God appears more in the Old Testament scriptures than any other, because it is found 6,823 times. So what are we to understand by God telling Moses, "But by my name Jehovah was I not known," when we find that name before this time, as we shall see? Well, I take it to mean that people up to this time, when God revealed it to Moses in chapter 3, when God said to Moses, "I am that I am," that is when God revealed that name more fully, more completely. And those who used it before that time did not have that deeper meaning of it, though it was used. They did not have the understanding of that name as God revealed it to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. They used it just as we would speak of God, and I dare say with many Christians, if they were asked, and maybe you would be included, what would be the difference in Lord, God, Jehovah? I'm afraid many Christians would say, "I don't know." When I read those titles, I simply think of the Supreme Being. But our appreciation for God will deepen and broaden as we learn more about Almighty God, and as we consider these names that reveal to us something of His character, something of His person, and something of His work. People perished for lack of knowledge. The Apostle Paul said that I might know Him. Well, would to God that we had that desire to learn more about our blessed Lord. Let me skip down in the outline on page 4, and you might have that before you as well. Now, we said that the second primary name for God is Jehovah. I don't want to confuse you, so listen carefully. I put here, as other people do in putting outlines down or writing a book or whatever, they'll put down Jehovah. This is one of the primary names for God, Jehovah. And that actually is not correct. You might say, "Now, preacher, don't go confusing me. What do you mean it's not correct?" I want you to turn with me, please, to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. And verse 16. Leviticus 24 and 16. Now note what God said, "And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord." All right, when you see that word Lord, all capitals, you know that is, I know I sound contradictory, you know that is Jehovah, all caps. "He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, Jehovah, he shall surely be put to death." Go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And look at verse 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, I want you to think about those two scriptures. And you think of the fear, the reverence, and yet the fear that such verses must have instilled in the people of God of that day. God said, you shall not take my name in vain. And we read from Leviticus 24, those who blaspheme the name of Jehovah will be put to death. So, the Jewish people did not pronounce that name. They didn't use it. They did not use it. If you were to look at a Jewish newspaper or a Jewish book, any kind of literature, you would see that even today, and I have plenty of this material at home, I do not have it with me, but you would see even today in their printed material, the Jews would have God spelled this way, G-D. And you know how they would pronounce it? Adonai. They would not even attempt to pronounce Jehovah. Why? Well, for one thing, the pronunciation had been lost. The pronunciation has been lost. I put on the outline with all the research that scholars have given to that name Jehovah, little is known about it because the pronunciation has been lost. Because of the fear, and I put here whether it's reverence or superstition, it makes no difference. It's been lost. Because the Jews refused to even attempt to speak that name, the more personal name for God. And so the pronunciation has been lost. And if you were to search this out, you would find that a tetragrammaton has been used for Jehovah. You say, a tetragrammaton, what is that? Well, look down next to the last paragraph on page 4. You would see, in your search for this name, you would see this tetragrammaton as YHWH. Because the Jews did not use any vowels. And as I have typed out here, it would be as if the Lord's Prayer would be this way. Now you look at all the words I have there. I have simply the R, our Father which art in heaven. There were no vowels, only consonants. So the R would be our, and F-T-H-R would be Father, W-H-C-H, which, R-T, art, in, heaven, H-V-N, hallowed, H-L-L-W-D, hallowed, B, thy, T-H, name, N-M. And that's the way the letters were. It wasn't until after the Babylonian captivity that the letters were even separated, or the words were separated. And so, in the Jewish writings, there was this tetragrammaton, YHWH. Now, in the etymology of it, bringing it over into the English, and I trust I'm not confusing you, but bringing it over into the English, we would know it as J-H-V-H. For example, my name is James. That is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Jacob. Now, the Jewish people would pronounce the Jacob as Yaakov. That is, the J would be pronounced as a Y, Yaakov. The Jews of old would have pronounced Jerusalem as Yerushalayim. The J would be pronounced as a Y. So you would see that tetragrammaton as YHWH, no vowels. That was the name for Jehovah. But how would you pronounce YHWH? How would you pronounce it? Would you say I couldn't? And the Jews didn't. Now, it was after the Babylonian captivity, in fact, from about the 5th century on up to the 10th century, that some Jewish scribes known as the Masoretes, or the Masoretic scribes, they gave vowel points to these Hebrew letters. They gave vowel points. So look at the last paragraph on page 4. So when they came to these four letters indicating the name of Jehovah, you know what they did? They took the vowels from Adonai, in this case the A and the O, from Adonai. And they brought the vowels over into these four letters for Jehovah. So, putting in the vowels from Adonai, you say, why did they do that? To remind them, whenever they saw that word, to pronounce it as Adonai. And not Jehovah. Or Yahweh. So they brought the vowels from Adonai over. And it would have looked something like this. Yah-ho-wah. Yah-ho-wah. And it comes over into the English, Jehovah. Jehovah. But it seems that many, and I dare say most, Bible scholars are agreed that it actually should be Yahweh. Bible scholars, I'm not telling you anything that's new, Bible scholars are agreed that rather than Yahowah or Jehovah, it really should be Yahweh. They believe that that is the better pronunciation for this word, Yahweh. Now that's more familiar to you. Where you see the letters J-A-H, like in Elijah, here you have E-L, you know is God, that's singular for God, and there you have the abbreviated form of Yahweh. Elijah means God is the Lord. All right. So here we have something of this name. Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Now, please keep in mind when we read of God creating the universe, in chapter 1, the name, the only name that is used is Elohim. 32 times. Elohim. All right? I want you to look at chapter 2 now. Look at chapter 2. Now when it comes to creating man, we have two titles together. And that is very significant. Look at verse 4 of Genesis 2. Lord God. All right? You know Lord is Jehovah. And God, capital G, small o, d, is Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. Lord God. Verse 4. Verse 5. Lord God. Verse 7. Lord God. Verse 8. Lord God. Verse 9. Lord God. Verse 15, Lord God. 16, Lord God. 18, Lord God. 19, Lord God. 21, Lord God. Verse 22, Lord God. 11 times in chapter 2. Now this name, Jehovah, or more specifically, Yahweh, speaks of God's holiness. You'll see on the outline that I have Leviticus 11:44. God said to his people, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. And so, That name speaks of His holiness. It speaks of God as a God of justice. He is a holy God. He is a just God. He hates sin, but He loves the sinner and provides salvation for him. But when God says, I am that I am, He did not say, I was, or I will be, but always I am. Because it speaks of the ever presence of God. Get that fixed in your mind. When you go to a portion like Psalm 139, and the psalmist said, O Lord, Jehovah, where shall I flee from Thee? Wherever he would go, Jehovah is there, because He's the great I Am. He's ever present. So, in chapter 2, we read 11 times the Lord God. Now, note when we come to chapter 3. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, what did he say? Yea, hath what? What did he leave out? He's subtle now. He left out Jehovah, didn't he? Yea, hath Elohim said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden. And now, here she's picking it up. Elohim hath said. And here we think of all of these times that we read Lord God. Because that word Lord speaks of His holiness. He hates sin. He's ever present. But now this subtle one, the enemy of God, doesn't use that title, that name, Jehovah. He leaves that out and the woman picks up on it. As if to instill in her thinking, well, God is someone who's far off. Though He's mighty, though He's omnipotent, He's far off. He's way up there somewhere. He's not concerned about you. He's only concerned that you might learn the secret here and be like Him, that you may be as gods, verse 5, as Elohims. You see how subtle He is? And isn't this what we are faced with today? This world is seeking to erase from the minds of people Almighty God. We're living in a world of amusement. To muse means to think. What does amuse mean? The A negates it. Don't think. It means not to think. Don't think about God anyway. Don't think about His abiding presence. Don't think about Him being right here and that He is the Holy One, because this subtle one tempted them to be unholy as He does us. It's 1:45. I have to stop. So I'm going to stop right there. And you'll have to just keep reading this and meditating upon it. And next, this coming Sunday night, we will not continue in the study. We'll wait until next Wednesday night to pick it up again as we think about what the Lord Jesus had to say as He used this name, applying it to Himself in John chapter 8. My, my, for those who would say, nowhere in the Bible is this highest name for God, this more personal name for God, Jehovah, ever applied to Christ or ascribed to Christ in any way. Those who think that and say that are altogether wrong, because the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah. And I'm glad He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank Thee for who Thou art. we realize we are on holy ground. And we would exclaim from the depths of our being, yes, we would sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. How wonderful to know that we who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord, are children of God. We thank Thee for our position in Christ. Dismiss us with Thy blessings, we pray, in the Savior's name. Amen. Good night. God bless you, and for those of you who will be away, we'll be praying for you. Have a good time.